Sign up for the SD Expo mailing list to receive conference updates and the 2006 conference catalog. Go to www.sdexpo.com.
Hi, I'm John Erickson for Dr. Dobbs Journal. We're here today with Joe Sternanos, CTO of PKWare, and Jim Peterson, Chief Scientist at PKWare. Welcome, Joe and Jim.
Thanks, John.
Jim, tell me, the zip format is 18 years old this month and has become a pretty much of a de facto standard in terms of compression and security. To what do you attribute its longevity?
Well, we consider the key aspects of portability, reliability, and open specification as being important elements, and along with its ability to adapt over the years and stay in step with the evolving needs for data storage and transfer. Since it was originally designed in an era when disk capacity was measured in sizes of tens of megabytes and transfer speeds in ranges of 300 to 1200 baud, its strength was in its ability to efficiently pack files and folders into an easily managed archive that made the most of the system constraints at the time. This allowed easy exchanges of data between a wide range of environments, from DOS to Unix up to virtually any system available back in that day. Additionally, users could trust that the data they put into a zip file could always be retrieved. This also allowed them the ability to trust that when they needed to send information to someone else, they could rely on that recipient being able to open the format on any platform. And lastly, we believe the format's inventor, Phil Katz's desire to make the format available to everyone was important in that by publishing the specification, anyone could use the format without concerns of being locked into a single vendor. The publication of the app note, which is a standard reference document for ZIP, contributed to its portability since it could be easily ported to any platform by anyone needing it without having to wait for a closed format to be made available by a single controlling vendor. And I think Phil's vision has proven itself to be correct today in that many business processes rely on the ZIP for data in transit and at rest, and that the format itself has become part of many other important industry standards.
I just wanted to follow up with some examples to complement what Jim has already said about the ZIP file format. And looking at this and the fact that from a portability standpoint, ZIP not only handles the ASCII-based systems, which it was originally intended for, but it has also been extended to EBCDIC-based systems such as System Z and System I, the mainframe system and mid-range system. Another example of portability is the fact that it's actually adapted to a lot of different foreign file formats, certainly foreign to PC-based systems. For example, on System Z, with partitioned data sets, PDSs, being able to go into that zip archive and then also be extracted to PC systems, for example. And then lastly, to the reliability, when you consider the fact that an archive that was created with PKZIP 2.04G many years ago could still be extracted on any platform today, even though that archive was created on a PC system, it could actually be extracted on a mainframe, mid-range, Unix, Windows, Linux, and so on.
Well, thanks, both of you. Joe, can you tell me how the data-level security differs from other types of security?
Sure. I mean, most security involves security at the perimeter or data in transit. ZIP provides portable data security. And as Jim had already mentioned, ZIP provides security in transit and at rest. So to give you an example of what I'm really speaking to here, when you consider access-level security, an example of something like this would be when a backup administrator wants to back up somebody's laptop. To be able to get access to all the files on that laptop, he's got to have access rights to all those files. And in doing so, he actually has access to the content as well. If you consider a zip archive, an encrypted zip archive, as protecting the data even within the borders of an organization, in that instance, the backup administrator can back up that zip archive, but he doesn't have access to the content. Another example of this could be with Microsoft's encrypted file system or what's upcoming with Vista's BitLocker. Those provide whole disk encryption. In the example that we're referring to with the backup administrator backing up those files, in this case, the backup administrator would actually have to have access to all the files on that encrypted file system. With an encrypted zip archive, even on that encrypted file system, the backup administrator can back up that encrypted zip archive but doesn't have access to the content of that zip archive.
And one aspect I think that's also increasingly important in today's globalized business environment is that today, in the course of doing business, it's the data that moves between organizations, not necessarily the perimeter or firewall defenses. So in order to protect data in the course of business, you have to protect the data itself because it needs to be secured because your firewall doesn't go with it.
Jim, we've been talking about the zip file format. How has it changed over the years?
Well, the format's adapted quite a bit over the years. Notable changes include larger file support and increasingly important is security today. While the format's retained its core support for compression and archiving, and it's retained compatibility back to the original release, it's evolved significantly to meet the changing needs that have occurred in technology over the years. For example, the first version of ZIP had a file limit of just over 16,000 files and could hold a file of no larger than 2 gigabytes. Today, the format's been extended to meet the capacities of modern systems as well as those of the foreseeable future. For example, today, the number of files that can be placed into a ZIP file is over 4 billion, and file sizes can reach the exabyte range. And an exabyte has 18 digits to the left of the decimal point, so that's a fairly large number. These capacities should keep the ZIP format viable for some time. Additionally, as the ZIP format has become the ubiquitous method for storing and transferring data, the need to protect that data from theft and misuse has led to features in the format that provide these protections through the use of strong data encryption and digital signing. These methods rely on standard encryption technologies widely adopted in the industry today, which include AES and X.509, so that the encryption features are as durable and as trusted as ZIP itself.
Great. Joe, can you tell me if there's a website that listeners can go to for more information on ZIP and PKWare?
Sure. We've got several webcasts that could describe a little more detail of some of the information that we've kind of discovered here at www.pkware.com.
Great. Joe and Jim, thank you both for joining us today.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Thank you.
For Dr. Dobbs Journal, this is John Erickson.
Sign up for the SD Expo mailing list to receive conference updates and the 2006 conference catalog. Go to www.sdexpo.com.